It is the most penitential, sorrowful, and saddening day of the year, hands down. And yet we call it good. Today commemorates the worst of our human nature, our darkest hour, the most shameful thing we have done as a human race. And yet today is called good. It can admittedly be difficult for us to see the goodness inherent in Good Friday. When we are faced, as we just heard, with such reprehensible human behavior, not just in this moment, but all throughout human history, and even a lifetime of our own personal sinfulness, knowing full well the role that we each play in our Lord's pain and passion. So where is the goodness of today? That's a question we might wrestle with. And even further, we might ask, how can a human race that does all of this to God, let alone how we treat one another, how can a human race that does this to God truly be called good? If this is what we are capable of as a human race, then is our existence actually good? Am I even good? Today throws all of that into question for us. That somehow, whatever love brought us into this existence was flawed or mistaken. And from this, we can become quite despondent, lost and confused when we wrestle with all that takes place on a day such as today. Now, thankfully, people far smarter than myself have wrestled with this question too. One of them, of course, being Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI. And he wrote a beautiful reflection on this idea many years before he became Pope. And he writes this: "The human person is unique. We don't just need physical birth and physical sustenance if we are to survive. We need something else. We need to know the love that has created us. If an individual is to accept himself, someone else must say to him, 'It is good that you exist.' If an individual is to accept himself, someone else must say to him, he must hear it from another, 'It is good that you exist.'" We need to hear that, brothers and sisters. We have a real need for it at the deepest level of our being. No other creature has a need to know that it is good that they exist. If you were to, take a squirrel, for example. A squirrel can live a perfectly happy life not knowing whether it's good that he exists, because a squirrel cannot possibly know those deep truths. The goodness of his existence is of little concern to a squirrel. If I were to go find a squirrel and point him and look him directly in the eye and say, "It is bad that you exist, Mr. Squirrel," he would still go around looking for acorns and running on power lines, because squirrels are going to squirrel. But the human person, on the other hand, if you were to say that to another person, that would cut to the heart, of course. And you and I can wrestle with these questions. Is it good that I exist? And they can cause anxiety for us if they aren't answered sufficiently. If we do not know that fundamental truth that it is good that I exist, then it can extend to so many things. Is it good that anything exists? Is the world even good? Well, brothers and sisters, it is on the cross that Jesus answers that question for us. He tells it to us. And more than that, he shows it and demonstrates it for us. Cardinal Ratzinger later writes, "The cross is the ultimate approbation of our existence, not in words, but in an act so completely radical that it caused God to become flesh and pierced his flesh to the quick. That to God it was worth the death of his incarnate Son. One only knows he is truly loved when he is loved unto death. But if God loves us in that way, then we are loved in truth. Then love is truth, and truth is love. Then life is worth living. This is the good news. And he further goes on to say, by its nature, the Christian faith is good news. It is glad tidings. And so the promise of love that makes our own life worthwhile, it remains firm even if the messengers of that love are unattractive or imperfect. And the value of human love does not cease when those who love are separated from one another. A prisoner, for instance, may come to realize for the very first time what it means to be sure that someone at home is waiting for him and loving him. And the good news is like that. Its joy reaches the roots of our existence and proves its strength the most because it sustains us when all else around us is darkness. End quote. And I dare say, brothers and sisters, this is the most important truth that you and I could ever know in our lives. That it is good that you exist. And yet, I would argue that so much of the interior despair and despotism of our world today is because so many people do not know this greatest truth of their lives. That God finds all of us, he finds each and every one of us so important that he desires to suffer for us. You can even just imagine if the order of human existence went Adam and Eve and then you. If you were the only person who existed after Adam and Eve, if there was only one person who needed saving, our Lord would have gone through all of it. He would have become a human being, gone through all of the torture, the suffering of today. He would have gone through all of it just to save you, to save one person. Jesus would have still done that. We are created good, brothers and sisters. Fallen, yes. Wounded by sin, no doubt. But the goodness of our existence is a truth far deeper inside of us than any sin. We are not snow-covered dung, as Martin Luther is once reported to have said. No, we are diamonds. Diamonds who have fallen into the muck, as St. Anselm once wrote. And our God, in order to clean us, he gets dirty himself. He enters into that muck by becoming man, by taking on our suffering and our sins on his shoulders. He gets into the muck to clean us and to restore us to the full beauty and splendor for which we are made. To once again be the object of his gaze and of his loving affection. And it says something about God that he still speaks this truth over us, even as we put nails into his hands and feet and press a crown of thorns on his head and insult and belittle the one who gave us the very gift of life itself. It says something that God would still desire to save us through the cross more than any other method. Because if our God wanted to, maybe on one extreme, out of anger, he could have smited us all in an instant out of wrath over our rebellion and defiance. On the other side, God could have also, just walking around anywhere on the Mount of Beatitudes, he could have just said a word and forgiven all of our sins that way. We could have been saved by a flick of his wrist. He had the power to do that after all. But our God instead desired to enter into the deepest desolation possible, the belly of the beast, the dungeons of human suffering, the cross. And he desired to stay on that cross because he saw his persecutors and us as too important to cast aside. He stayed on that cross to show us how deep and abiding his love is for us and how good it is that you and I exist. This is what Jesus wants you to know on Good Friday, brothers and sisters. Think about it. We come into this church countless times over the course of a year, but only today can we grasp the full measure of his affection and his care for us. That we can go before him, weeping over our imperfections, our weaknesses, and our faults, and still know it is good that I exist. That we can keep going, keep following him, and still be loved by him. The cross affirms that we are good, precisely because it comes from a place of suffering. We're broken, yes. In perilous need of a Savior, absolutely. But still good, still worth loving, and still worth dying for. So where is the good in Good Friday? Well, it's right here before our eyes. The infinite goodness of God, affirming the goodness of man. If we ever doubt the meaning, the purpose, or the aim of our lives, look to the cross. Look to Jesus suffering for you. And hear the God of the universe say directly to you, the love that created you and died for you is real. And it is good that you exist.